Now, the central issue in the sugya of really two sugyot in the Gemara is a seeming contradiction, which honestly I don't think is a contradiction at all. In fact, I would say the Rishonim don't really present it. I think this is a much later question that's raised between the Gemara Brachos and the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Brachos presented a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon. Tana Rabbanon v'yasafta diganecha mata melomer lafishin amar layamush sefer tarazem ipicha yochal dvarim kichsavan ta melomer v'yasafta diganecha hanig bahem minag derecheret ziv Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer efshar adam choresh b'shas charisha v'zareh b'shas riyah v'kotzer b'shas k'tzirah v'dash b'shas disha v'zareh b'shas haruach Torah mateh aleha, ela bizman sheYisrael osim mitzvano shalmakom, melachtan nases haidei achirim, shenemar ve'amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonchem, uvizman sheYisrael osim mitzvano shalmakom, melachtan nases haidei atzman, shenemar liyosafta diganecha. I don't need to read further. So what you have here, people often see, and I believe this is not correct, but this is often presented as a view as to what the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is. And Rabbi Yishmael understands that that the chiyuv of Talmud Torah doesn't function in such a way that it would preclude the time that's taken, the large amount of time that's taken to earn parnasah. Whereas Rabbi Shimon's in the position that really you're supposed to be learning all the time, and therefore the fact that you're gathering your own grain is bizman she'ein osim ritzono shel makom. That's how it often has been seen, because in light of that, if you take that reading, then you have a contradiction between the Gemara here and in Menachos, which says, yeah, you want to read? Yeah, the Mishnah has a debate. It's a very funny thing. The Mishnah has a din, a debate about what it means, v'nasata al hashulchan lechem panim lifanai tamid. What does tamid mean? So the Mishnah has a machlokes whether or not you can take the old lechem hapanim off and then put the new ones on, or as you're sliding the old ones off, you slide the new ones on. Because there shouldn't be even a second where the shulchan has nothing on it. And in light of that, machlokas as to what the definition of tamid is, which is interesting because nowhere in the context of Talmud Torah is the word tamid used. What are the sources in the Torah for Talmud Torah? There are three psukim that are generally quoted. V'shinantam levanecha, which is what's that?
When you said Torah, you mean
I'll take Tanakh, but there's another one before you go to Nach. Ulamad temo samu shmar tem lasa sam. I don't know. Remember if the Gemara Kiddushin quotes that the Rambam does quote Tanochas Talmud Torah. He says if your father what's that? Thank you. If the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah that if one's father did not teach him. Rav Hirsch asked me, I have to get back to him this. He asked me a couple of days ago, one of his Talmidim asked him, if you read the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's very bizarre. The Rambam starts out by saying that Nashim and Avadim are Peturim, Nashim and Avadim are Peturim from Talmud Torah. That's the first halacha. Just odd. It's a strange way to start by telling you. So a student asked that, and he said, it's a really good question. I'll tell you what I think the answer to the question is. The answer to the question is I'll read you the first halacha of Talmud Torah. You're left scratching your head. The Rambam says, Nashim v'avadim uketanim peturim mitalmud Torah. It's the first line.
Why is that strange?
At the very least, start out by laws of Talmud Torah, and then you know how the
is such a thing as a mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Time out. First you would say that, but it's more than that. If you take the chinuch as an example, I think the Rambam generally follows that. The chinuch, the way he does things, is he describes a mitzvah, and then when he gets to the end, he tells you who's chayav, who's patur, and so on. But you define what the mitzvah is, and then you get to the end, and he tells you, by the way, nashim are patur, nashim are chayavos, and so on and so forth. You start out with the words, at least start out with the words, kitanim, or, you know, mitzvah saseh, lomo Torah, whatever it is. Nashim avadim kitanim patur mitalmud Torah. So I'll tell you what the answer I believe is that the ikar chiyuv of Talmud Torah is what? Is teaching one's child. That's the ikar chiyuv of Talmud Torah. If one's father didn't transmit Torah to him, and again, obviously remember that it's more reflective, it doesn't change the din of an oral culture where you don't have books, where you're not self-taught, certainly. But if one's father didn't teach him, so then, ulamad temo sam ushmar tem laso sam, which is in halacha gimel. Mishelo limdo aviv chayev lelamed esatzma kishiyakir shenemar lematemos samushmartem laasosam. So why does the Rambam then start with Nashar Madam Tanam Turin Talmud Torah? Because he starts out, I mean, I might still not have formulated it this way, but he starts out to tell you that the Ikar Chiyav is to teach Katanim, which in itself presents a conundrum, because a Katan is not Chayv in Talmud Torah. Katan isn't Chayv in any mitzvahs, but still a father is Mechuyav to teach his son Torah, already when he's a Katan. That's why I think the Rambam, and he may have started because the only way to sort of introduce it that Katanim are part of Talmud Torah, but the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach the Katanim. Okay.
I was going to make a joke.
You know my rule on jokes?
No.
It has to be funny unless I'm making it. I can make bad jokes. You have to be able to make good jokes.
No, it's not
going to be funny. Okay. All right. So anyway.
You also said, this is a bit of a stretch, but the general Rambam always unlike, say, the Mishnah, they'll say there is a mitzvah of lulav, there is a mitzvah of krishma, but in this case, it's so obvious that you already know that there's a chiyuv of Talmud Torah because you're reading his book. If you didn't already know that there are chiyuv of Talmud Torah, you wouldn't be opening his book in the first place. Because you know it, then he begins.
My advice to you, Gabe, is never start a question the way you did, because I'll agree. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but yes. You started your question with, I know it may be a bit of a stretch, so the answer is yes, I think it is. But okay.
I know. That you don't need to tell.
Okay. You, like, you never start a question saying, I know this may sound stupid, because the answer
might
be, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I once had a student who did that with one of my rabbeim. When he said, you know, when he started a question like that and asked a question that was probably really inappropriate, and the Rebbe responded by saying, yeah, it is a stupid question. Rightfully so. So anyway.
So if I hadn't said that, would you respond?
I think it's still a stretch. Okay. Anyway, so now, what does the Gemara say there? So read the Gemara, Yair. Tanya. Ella. Fine. So Tamid means you don't have a night go without them. By the way, that's true for the menorah. The menorah says Tamid. Start with the carbon Tamid, right? What does Tamid mean in the carbon Tamid? It means you bring animals every second of the day. No, it means twice a day. It's called Tamid. Every day is what Tamid means there. By the menorah, the word Tamid is used, and it means usually. Chazal, I think, understood it to mean all night. Every night, but not even though you had in the tradition a Ner Maravi, which when the nace worked was Daluk Tamid, but the Chiyuv of Tamid is not all day. You don't light the menorah during the day if it was extinct, you know, if it ran out of oil. And the shear that you would use for oil was they used the same shear all the time. It was the shear of the longest night of the year of Lele Teves. They would use that all year, so even in Teves it would burn all night. So Tamid, so Rabbi Yossi says Tamid means the Shulchan shouldn't go a night without lechem on it. So then, so the pasuk in Yeshua, which is the third pasuk, lo yamush sefer haTorah zemipicha v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. So that pasuk is enough, yomam v'layla. And the truth is, the word yomam is an interesting word. It can mean all day, and it can mean on a daily basis. And in fact, that's what, you know, it's lo yamush amud ha'anan yomam ve'amud ha'esh layla. So yomam there means all day. What's that? No, yamush. There's a long Rashbam about that. I know, yamish sounds like, is it? I don't know. Is it? No, it's different. It's
more than one.
I don't remember. What's that? It's the
Leimish.
I can't believe I'm having a machlokas event. I think it's probably Yamish, because the whole discussion about, yeah, it's a question of who's the subject of Lo Yamish. That's the big question. Karahu, yes. Okay. Anyway. Yomam. So Yomam there means all day. Yomam here, according to the reading of Rav Ami, is every day, not all day. Okay? So he says that, according to Rav Yosei, Tamid means you shouldn't go a day or a night without learning Torah. Afilo shana adam ela perka chachas perka and arvis kimitzas leamush. Amrav Yochanan, go ahead.
Amrav Yochanan, Shimon Ben Yochai.
1 second, stop. If anybody in this room is an Am Aretz, please get up and leave now. Go ahead.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So the truth is, if one of you is an Amar, it's okay. If more than one of you is, then it's a problem. Okay. So obviously, the point is that even though technically speaking, one fulfills his chiyuv with just kriyas Shmoneh Esrei Shachar, Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, that's something that would lead to a society of Amei Haaretz, of ignoramuses, and that's not a good thing. So, but technically speaking, it means on a one-day basis. If it happened to be that day you were so busy and you could only said kriyas Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, kriyas Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, you were mekayim the mitzvah of agisa bayom and v'layla. Okay, that is the opinion of the way the Gemara presents is Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Ami articulates Rabbi Yose a slightly greater chiyuv than Kriyas Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, Kriyas Shmoneh Esrei Arvis, Perek Echad Shacharis and Perek Echad Arvis. It means some shear. There's no absolute clear shear. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, in his Torah Mada lecture many, many eons ago, I think it was either 87 or 88, I don't remember which one, he gave 2 years in a row. So in one of them, he suggested the Chatzi Shah was the shear. You know, half an hour a day, half an hour a night is the minimal chiyuv of Talmud Torah. That's what Perek Echad means. Perek Echad, by the way, with the Perek probably. What does the word Perek mean? Gabe? I'm not sure if it means. The Perek. A Perek. What's that?
It's the amount of time.
Yeah, so it probably, a perek refers not the way it does today to a chapter, but it actually refers to the break.
Rosh Hashanah,
like the same thing. I don't think to spoil that. Perek originally means the joint, not actually the section. Later it takes on the meaning. What's that? I understand, but it's come, Perek has come to mean the unit. I don't know if it's a biblical Hebrew word. I mean, there is a root Pereshkov. The word appears, but the usage of a unit or a break or as a joint, I don't know if that's biblical or not. And yes, you're correct. Parakun is meha zahav and vayis paraku. That's you're absolutely correct. It means to take off. What? The usage of parak like this is mishnaic, but it may mean, I don't know, I'm not sure if it means a unit, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it means, it could be a unit of time. Anyway, it doesn't mean the way it means today. Obviously, the prakim of the mishnaic, by the way, were already divided by Rebbe. No, let's Shuvas Hashanah. Anyway, the prakim as a term, I don't know if that's being used here, are known. We know that the Amoraim had prakim because, not just Mishnayis, because the Gemara in Hamafkid, Rava says, the quote Rava saying, Upirkan Hamafkid Hava. Okay, so they had a notion of parak. But anyway, so it means it's either a unit of time or a unit of material. So something more than Kriya Shema Shacharis. Then there's Rabbi Shimon's opinion that even the minimum amount, even Kriya Shema, is enough to fulfill the obligation of Talmud Torah. Jason?
These are just fallbacks, right?
So clearly, Rabbi Shimon's is certainly a fallback. What is the position of Rabbi Ami? So it is a minimum, but it doesn't necessarily imply that it's a b'di'evet. Rava told them that I don't want to see you during those 2 months.
Because it implied that they should be
Gadi. The assumption is they weren't going to be sitting and learning all day during those 2 months. They needed to earn a living for the rest
of
the year.
They had to say Kriyas Shema.
Obviously, they had a minimum Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, whether that was Kriyas Shachas, Kriyas Shavas, or, you know, Perek Echad, Riyam Perek Laila, was something, you know, I presume they didn't stop learning completely, but it meant that you spent most of your day like everybody else in the world, which was working.
There's also one thing in Talmud which states that one day of learning was dedicated every year or something.
You had Yarche Chala,
that
which
would be good for the rest of the year. Type of,
find it for me, and I'll. I don't want to say no. Ezra?
Older.
The fact that it says, Kievisos Loyamush, right, that's a little bit unusual, that would be. It seems like, you know, it's a puzzle from the.
Beginning. That's okay, yes. That is a larger issue. They don't. You know, the question is to what extent it's not so much the Makor. I would say it this way, it's a Gilu Milsa Bialma. Meaning there's a puzzle. What's that? But it's more, no. See, it simply is, we have a pasuk v'shinantam levanecha, which is not clear what its parameters are on its own. You can read it more than one way. From the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yehoshua v'hagisa b'yom v'layla, indicates clearly that the mitzvah was as such. The makor for Talmud Torah is not v'hagisa b'yom v'layla. The makor is v'shinantam levanecha. You just see memela how v'shinantam levanecha was understood. So yes, it is unusual that you're talking about, you know, the mitzvah of Hagisa Bayom Valai, but that just means the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
After all,
mitzvah
it's not a mitzvah, it's a bracha.
Okay.
So it's a
promise and a blessing.
Based on the drasha, you
get
the drasha and kiddushin.
V'sheyu mechudad nemefecha. Yeah. But I think it's more than that. I think the fundamental mitzvah of learning stems from the mitzvah of teaching and transmitting. Now, there's the mitzvah of teaching Talmud Torah is not simply a cheft, you know, a pe'ula of teaching. It's you know, Rosh Hashanah likes to say a lot. I don't know if I've heard him say it in this exact vein, but it's the mitzvah of being Malamed Torah is not simply one of teaching. It's transmitting the Masorah. So the ikar of learning starts with the Shinat Lamedecha. That's what I mentioned before. So even if someone didn't teach you, you're obligated to learn. But so when you say, you know, in other words, it's not because v'shinantam shiyum chudadim b'ficha. I think it's because obviously in order to teach one has to learn. I would even say that you learn something best when you actually teach it. But I don't know if I would say Shinantam, that piece is something of an asmacht in its nature, I think.
Then anything that you learn without teaching it has no
reward. No, I don't think you have ulamad temasamashmar temlasosam. That's certainly there for someone who wasn't taught. So presumably that's operative for someone even who's not going to teach. Ulamad temo sam v'shmar tem laso sam.
It's used to say the person himself.
That's what the Rambam says on Halacha Gimel.
He wasn't taught,
then he still has to learn himself if his father didn't teach him. If his father didn't teach him, he's still obligated to learn Torah. Teach him Torah. The point is that his father didn't give him a Torah education, whatever that is defined as, he's got to get it for himself. David?
Who said the Limud Torah in the beginning is for father to teach his son? However, Haramban brings in his vas the Limud Torah, it doesn't say the Lamed Torah. Meaning, if that was the case, he would say the Lamed Torah, and in case he didn't teach you, then he was learning Torah.
Yes, but what's the makar in the Sefer HaMitzvos when he quotes Limud Torah? I bet you quotes v'shinantam levanecha. So it means that in other words, it's not. We think that there's learning and there's teaching. The answer is no. That the process of teaching is part of the mitzvah of Talmud, of learning. That's the way I see the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. That's what I think he's saying. What does he use? Okay, fine. Those two go together, right? But still, the pasuk of teaching.
Can you tell me that?
As I said, when you teach something, you learn it in a way you've never actually learned it before.
Certainly, there are sources throughout the Talmud that go over and over how much of a higher level you reach.
That's what he said.
Also, let's say just in terms of a person doing it themselves, they say person who they go through a list of all the different stages of people's status. If you learned Torah, then you have the first status. If you learn Torah and you kept Torah, if you learn Torah and you taught Torah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. So now
that's true. The best way to kind of get some Talmud Torah is teaching Torah. Why were you being totally sarcastic when you said if you want to continue learning, don't go into Chinuch?
No, I wasn't being sarcastic at all. A person's notion, look, today a lot of learning is done from books. You know, the Rav supposedly once said that today everybody's Rav HaMuvak is the Svarim, and therefore a person shouldn't paskin shaylos without consulting the Shulchan Aruch, because that's his Rebbe in a certain sense. So there are people who want to sit and learn with Svarim and spend their entire, you know, spend lots of time doing that. The nature of the profession of being a Malamed, what you learn, what you teach, you may learn particularly well, but you're not going to have the time to, you know, learn all those things that you think you want to learn.
Right.
Okay. So no, there's nothing facetious in that. I meant that very seriously.
That had nothing to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Correct.
You're saying you're making the mitzvah of Talmud Torah just as much.
When you're teaching, you also have to deal with other things in the chinuch, which are neither learning or teaching.
In any profession,
that's
you
fine.
Deal with things other than they think you're actually.
Okay, fine. So anyway, now the response was Sha'al. Go ahead.
Rabbah went the opposite way, said it's a mitzvah.
Okay.
Shal ben dam.
Does Rashi say why? Is it so that they'll say Kriya Shema?
Rashi claims that.
What does Rashi say?
Rashi says that it's about the fact that they'll be inspired to put their sons through Torah education,
okay.
And that they'll see that they'll estimate the reward for Torah as being very great in both sides, whether it's Aser Tel or Mitzvah to Tel.
Okay.
Personally, if you ask me a pshat, I would say like you say that at least if they hear that, then they'll learn say Kriyashma every morning, okay. And every evening.
Fine, go ahead. So now...
Shal ben dama ben achoso shel Rabbi Shmuel es Rabbi Shmuel, his uncle. Kigon ani shalamati kol ha-Torah kula, ma'alil ma'chok mas-yavanis. So he answered, Kralav ha-mikro hazeh, lo yamush sefer ha-Torah ha-zamipicha v'ha-gisu ba-yom v'layla, meaning, say u'bdok sha'a she'en alo min ha-yom v'lo min ha-layla, u'lamod ba-chok mas-yavanis.
Okay, so what was the response that Rabbi Shmuel gave? And in the Yushalmi, it's Rabbi Yeshua. I didn't give you the Yushalmi, but this Yushalmi happens to be very important in this context. What was the response that he gave him? You have to learn all the time, and therefore, you have to learn. Oh, no, you don't have to learn all the time. What?
It's not dependent on your knowledge; it's about the activity.
Correct, and that you have to learn all day and all night, essentially. And if you can find a time that's neither day nor night, so fine. You can study Chachmas Yevanos then, but otherwise you can't. Shlomo. It means he knew all of Tanakh. It means he knew all the Mishnayos and Brises and so on. And he could, whenever he needed to, he could put together, you know. And that's right. There is such a notion.
Yeah, but it sounds a little weird. Like the question. I learned everything.
So the answer is, to borrow from the Ran and the Durim, if you would ask them a question, you could have gotten the answer. It happens to be, in this case, Ben Dama, right? What is, I don't remember what the Yushalmi's Girsa is, but there was an expression... Abaya uses a few places in Shas, and every time he uses, he gets burned. He says Hareini Kivenazai Beshukei Tveria, which means that's like open question and answer session. But that, on the assumption, of course, I have open question and answer session, but I don't have the answers to all the questions. I know that at the front. But Abaya was saying Benazai would sit there and they'd ask him questions, and he could answer any question.
The answer to the question when he asked.
What's that?
When he asked, the answer.
The nephew.
He knew to call her a kula. He was able to answer any question that was posted. Helpful.
Maybe that's
why
the answer.
It's not in the Mishnah.
It's not in the Torah whether they the answer that.
Okay. Anyway, Shlomo, it's a very sharp question you asked. Can be asked that. But anyway, I think there's a notion of someone who's mastered all of Torah, and so that's Ben Azai. Every time Abaye, of course, does that, then someone asks him a question. He says that. So this question, he doesn't know the answer to it, right? That's how all the Gemara always presents it, right? So anyway. So it's presented as if there's a constant chiyuv. Now, there are two interesting things here. Eitan?
How are we to define Chachma Yevanit?
All right, so I don't want to spend a lot of time defining it in this context. Based upon the Gemara, it would appear to be anything that's not Torah.
Right.
Or worldly wisdom. Tosas deals with this question. I'm not going to read Tosas, but part of the problem is that there is another reason why studying Chachma Yevanit is asur. Because of an error that was introduced. And that error, and I cut out on this, but not even going to read the Tosis, but Tosis goes through the chronology of Bayashani, which is important to realize that the Hasmonean kings were long before Rabbi Yishmael and Ben Dama. So the error already should have been in place. What was Ben Azai Shaila Shlomo, right? Didn't you know that Aura is Shri Lamed Bino Chachmas Yevanos? Now you could say, of course, Shri Lamed is Bino, but what if someone wants to go study it himself? And I don't say that, tongue in cheek, because that is, in fact, pretty clear in the Rambam about women in Talmud Torah. The prohibition is not a woman learning Torah. The prohibition is a father teaching his daughter Torah. I think it's very, very clear. So in this context, so one of the questions is what do you do with that other
prohibition
in
teaching your daughter?
It's a Mishnah in Sota. What?
It's
quoted by the Sifrei, by Poskim. It's quoted by the Rambam, it's quoted by the Shulchan
Aruch.
The Rambam's formulation, in response to Ben Azai, mitzvah la'av l'lamen is bito Torah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer say, one of them might say, so I'm not sure, the other one says, Kol Malamed Torah, Ilum Lamed Tiflis. What's that? So the Rambam says it's Asur. Right? The Rambam says explicitly, at the end of Perek Aleph of Hilchas Talmud Torah. He quotes both, but I don't remember if that formulation is in the Gemara. It doesn't really matter because the Sifrei HaPoskim reasonably read the Mishnah as such. The Rambam writes, "V'afal pishiyesh laschar tzivu chachamim shalilamei nadam esbito Torah." Gives his reason. Amru chachamim kalam alamei esbito Torah kilam de tiflos. He understood that is a prohibition. Same thing in the Shulchan Aruch. So, in other words, when the Chavetz Chaim came along and was matir teaching, you know, Torah Shabbat, and the Rav in very much the same vein for similar types of reasons, just in a different context, he said the same thing about Torah Shabbat Peh. You know, there was a halacha that was being overridden by it. It was, in effect, I don't want to call it harasha, it was an esas as Hashem efer torsecha. It might not be revocable, but no, it might be once undone, like the Easter of writing Torah Shabbat Peh down. Once it's undone, I know that some say the Gra wrote very concisely because he felt that if he wrote any of his Torah Shalol Lishma, it would no longer, you know, he was afraid of Avera Shalol Lishma. Okay, that's nice, but the rest of the Velt doesn't hold that. Clearly, there are people who dribble lots of ink on paper and write lots of nonsense down.
Violate
Batashlis on the ink and the paper. And what's that? Migdalos. The Yamsha Shalom at the Migdalos. So obviously, certain dinim once undone are undone and that's it. But bottom line, there's a problem. There's one problem is why didn't he know about the general prohibition of Chachma Sivanis? And the other question is what is Chachma Sivanis? Some of the Rishonim say Chachma Sivanis, Tosus says, I think, in Maruba, that Chachma Sivanis refers to, it's not Greek science, it's like a way of speaking which the nobility, the politicians would speak when he's Ramazim, because it had to do with the story.
Because the story is that Ramaz Gamliel wants to learn it so that he can go and be
I understand,
in
and Ramaz Lahem Zakein Echon, you know, so...
There was a Greek tradition of
rhetoric. That's what a rhetor was, yes. Yeah. So... I don't know. Whatever it was, the Rishonim say may not apply to all. You know, the Besuma doesn't necessarily apply to secular wisdom. And the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch assumes certainly there's no ban on secular studies bichlal. He says that one should engage in the Marai, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
In Sikhotinia,
they have a great synopsis. They have a lot of good synopsis of lots of things. Yes. So what emerges from the Yerushalmi then appears to be, the Bavli in Menachos appears to be three positions. The position of Ravami attributes to Rabbi Yosei, which is Perek Echad Bayom Ubalayla, which is more than just Kriya Shema, but it's not a constant. Rabbi Shimon's position that even Kriya Shema Shachar is Kriya Shema Shacharvis. And then Rabbi Shmuel's position, which is that it's literally Yom Ubalayla. Now, the question is, what do you do with the Gemara and Brachos, then, where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael seem to take opposite positions? So Rabbi Shimon, I don't think, is a kasha b'chlal. Rabbi Shimon, who says Yotze with Kriya Shema Shachar, that's a minimum. That's not necessarily the ideal. Ideally, you might learn more than that. So ideally, you might be able to learn the entire day. But it's not that there's an isser, you know, in choosing to do other things. It's just that in an optimum world, you wouldn't have to do other things. You'd be able to just learn all day and, you know, all night. There's a bigger question for Rabbi Yishmael. What if there really is a chiyuv to learn all day and all night? So then, how can he say v'asafta deganecha? Number one, why is it mutter to go get a job? And number two, why would he say that's b'zman shosim ritzono shemaka? Shalom, you have a question or comment? David?
Presumably, at the same time that you have the mitzvah of Nitzel Lulav, you also have the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. But you take a break from your Talmud Torah.
So that may be a usei b'mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. And there's a general principle that whenever it's a choice between Talmud Torah and a mitzvah, the mitzvah is docha the Talmud Torah. If it's yefsha layasos ayde acherim, the Gemara in Moed Katan has a stira between Pesukim and Mishlei, palis malgar aglecha, whereas I forget what the other pasuk they quote. They say bismat kan kishashay deachem kan kishashay deachem. Certainly a mitzvah that you are mechuyev l'kayim like netilas lulav doesn't you Talmud Torah is nitches before that mitzvah. The only mitzvah that you might be mitzvah so you might be pata from because of Talmud Torah are a kriya shma and b certainly even more so tefillah. That's a discussion in Shabbos in the first pasuk of Mishnah Torah. So also, you know whether he's pata from those things. Ezra.
So with these two contradictions, when you end up in the position which you started off by refuting, which is that, oh, so he holds you have to learn all day, so obviously he holds it, you have to work, and then the little work you do, then learn the rest of the Torah.
Correct. So Rabbi Yishmael's position presumably would be, is that, so that there are two ways of understanding Rabbi Yishmael's position. One is to say the position earlier, which is basically you're mechuyav to learn all day, but there are things that you have to do, they're part of life. And you don't have to view it as a b'di'evit, it's just, because he says, kankash osam etzal shemakom, they're part of life, you do them. When you're not engaged in your basic activities, taking care of your needs, you're mechuyav to be learning. The other way, yes, Aaron? Correct. In other words, that's part of what you do. You know, the things you have to do. It's, I don't think anybody says that there's a mitzvah saseh, one of the Torah mitzvahs to earn a parnasa, but there, the Torah, there's no mitzvah to breathe. Right? Are you mechuyev to breathe? Yes, you're mechuyev to breathe. Right? If you don't breathe, you violate some kind of issur d'oraisa, like neshmatim el nafsho secheb. It's very nice. Does the Torah tell you have to breathe? No. Does the Torah tell you have to eat food? No, it doesn't tell you. Are you mechuyev to food? Of course you're mechuyev to eat food.
No one. No, you need to make a bracha.
That's right. That's the
idea. No, it's for food, because you're not supposed to.
Okay. So the point is the Torah. Yeah, but no one says. That if you're born into wealth, no one says that you're mechuyev to work. There's no din that you're mechuyev to work. It might be a good thing, because batala mevi'a lidei zimam, lidei shiyamum, but the bottom line, there's no chiyev strictly. If a person wants to sit and learn, or if he assumes that there's no chiyev talmud Torah, a person wants to, you know, go on tilim and spend his life doing that, there's no issue technically in doing that.
That's
a different issue. That's called tar shenim ha-malacha. That's if he's sitting learning all day. Okay, but the assumption there also is because he's going to have to steal and so on. As a person who's born into wealth and wants to sit and learn all day and he can actually contribute to Kali, so that's not an inherently bad thing. But the point is, yes, Aaron, the point is the Torah, the Derech Agav, you know, I wouldn't even say the Torah, it's not that the Torah is being matir you to do that. The Amoraim, the Tanaim don't speak in those terms. It's just the Torah happens to speak about it, Derech Agav, that of course you're engaged in your work and you're gathering your grain and God's giving it to you and he's not, you know, making produce not grow. So bottom line is Rabbi Yishmael would say there's a constant chiyuv talmud Torah, but obviously part of life is doing the things that are necessary for life, and that it means eating, and that means breathing, and that means sleeping, and that means earning a parnasa. But once one is not engaged in the basic necessities of life, you know, it might even engage secular wisdom if it's for the purposes of earning a parnasa, right? But once one is not engaged in the basic needs of things that a person has to do, then you're mechuyev to learn, Ezra. That's one way. There's another way of understanding this position, but it doesn't seem to be in the Bavli here, at least. Ezra?
I think it might be the same idea, but you can look at his answer in context. Yes, about learning Chachma Zimanis. He didn't ask him, is there ever a time that I could not learn? Specifically, when he asked him about, because he asked about Chachma Zimanis, then he gave him that answer.
So you're arguing that it wasn't...
Not his Shita on
Tom. That he was really being Docha him. That's what you're saying. So the Yushalmi and Peah, I forgot to put on the Makar, so I apologize. The Yushalmi and Peah, it has, I think, the name with Rabbi Yoshua there. The Maskana, the Yushalmi and Peah, and this is two words, Neha Masoros. In Peah, Perak Alf Halachal. It's a long ago. That's the early part. It's on Vesalmud Torah, Eidvam Shalem Shur, on Talmud Torah. And the Maskana of the Yushalmi there appears to be Neha Masoros. The reason why he told us exactly what Ezra said, it wasn't because of the Chiv of Talmud Torah. The Yushalmi presents the same language for Rabbi Yoshua. You know, that, you know, you find time that's neither day nor night, but then Yushalmi says it's because of informants. In other words, this is what Tosis is talking about also. There's this Chachmas Yvonis had to do this. Yushalmi doesn't say it's limited to a specific branch of Greek knowledge, but the reason for the probe of the ban had nothing to do with the Chiv of Talmud Torah. It had to do with, you know, Jews, minus and things of that nature, and the technically heresy, but moser, which may be even worse. Okay?
So basically, we should just made up that, I think.
If you know the Mishnayos out of Avodah Zarah, there's another case where Rabbi Yishmael is actually Docha Rabbi Yoshua Bekash. Rabbi Yeshua is Docha Rabbi Yishmael Bekash, excuse me. Right. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, what the reason for Gvina Sakam was. He gives him the wrong reason. And then he starts to talk about Tanakh, you know, when he doesn't want to answer the questions in Halacha, so they learn Tanakh. So he asks him, what is it, Matovim do Dayach Miyayin, or Matovim do Dacha Miyayin? It's the Mishnah is in Avodah Zarah.
So that's Rabbi Yishmael would
never do this. It could be, or it's according to Yushalmi, it's Rabbi Yoshua, so it fit. According to Yushalmi, I believe it's Rabbi Yoshua there. The same story in the Yushalmi is with Rabbi Yoshua, not Rabbi Yishmael. Yeah.
Either way, either it's Rabbi Yoshua or
anyway.
Isn't there also a significant part of the story, which is the fact that he says, Kigon Ani, and he's asking his own uncle? So in other words, he's presenting a particular personality, which is him who has already learned Kol Torah Kula, and him asking his own uncle for a Shaila.
Except that the answer that was given seemed to have been a generic answer about the nature of the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. So I'm open to the possibility, what Ezra said, the Yerushalmi says it. I presume it's the same story, you know, that basically this wasn't in a Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. It was really an issue of Masoros. Now, I want to take a look at the Ran and the Darim. The Ran is a somewhat complicated, but the Ran writes the Gemara Nedarim says the following. I'll read. V'amar v'gida marav omer ashkin v'eshna peregze eshna mesechta zo neder gadol nader loke Yisrael. Now the way the assumption here that the Gemara Nedarim is talking about the issue of taking a shur to be mekayim a mitzvah. Now the problem is that why? What's that?
It says neder.
Yes, I understand. Yes. So the Gemara and the Nedarim, Lashon of Nedarim is Meshuna. Thank you. So the Gemara and the Nedarim says the following. The problem of swearing to fulfill a mitzvah is that the Shua shouldn't be Chal. Why? Because Kvar Mushbava Omen. If I swear I'm not going to eat this piece of bread, and I swear again I'm not going to eat this piece of bread, and I eat it, I'm only Chayav once. Because the Shua is not Chal on the Shua. And Isur, it's basically like Isur not Chal on Isur. So if I'm ready Mushbava Omen to learn this, then the shvur is not going to be chal on that, or seemingly so. Now, there is an inyan of being nishba l'kayim as a mitzvah for zerus to be mezaris oneself, but the shvur may not be chal. So the Bavli then says in this context, it says the reason why the shvur is chal actually hakamash malan kevan di pater nafshe bekriyash rashachris viarvis mishim hachi chal shvur aleh. Perek echad is more than kriyashma. So if a person took a shvur to say kriyashma to learn through Talmud Torah that way, the shvur is not chal. At least that is not really chal because he's mushbav omeid. But if he takes a shvur to learn one blot gemara, to learn one perek mishnayis, it's chal because that's beyond his minimum chiyuv of Talmud Torah. Now the Ran here asks the kasha. The Ran says mistavra li de lav dafka de bahachi miftar. He says he says he doesn't think the Gemara is dafka. You really pata with just kriyash mishnayis, kriyash mishnayis. Why? Sherei chayev kol adam lomo tamid yom v'layla kifi kolcho. Kifi kolcho obviously is a limiting factor for the Ran. Not everybody can. Va'amrina beperakam de kiddushin tana rabbanim v'shinantam sheyu dvir ter mechudadam beficha shem yishalcha adam davar shlo tedangim v'tomalo v'kriyash mishnayis. A person has to learn Torah so that when he's asked a question in Torah, he can answer the question without having to fumfer. Okay? When you learn, it would be nice if all students, when they learned a subject material for their college exams or their shiur exams, they could do that too. That you wouldn't have to read, you know, mounds and mounds of randomly accumulated knowledge, hoping that, you know, somewhere between all this sometimes correct and sometimes correct information, that they'll give you the answer that you want. But rather answer things directly, straight, without fumfering. Okay, none of you ever do that in any of your bechinas, right? In exams, chas v'shalom. Nobody ever beats around the bush. Nobody ever fumfers, right? Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. What's that? Okay, so I always say the best bechinas that I read are often when I get a really short bechina. It means one of two things. It means either the student knew nothing or the student knows it cold. Okay. That's the rule. I think it's called it's called the Bronstein rule. But none of you already know this anymore. It's from one of my earlier students, or Bronstein's older son. Who is that? Well, then they would remember too anyway. Yeah. So you weren't in shiur with him, but that's the rule. When you write it concisely and you know it, that's really indicates you understood the question. You know the answer. Done. Anyway, so the Ran says it can't be that if you just do kriyas or shachris. How is a person going to fulfill Shinat L'Manechal? And he can't now. The Ran goes on to say, and this is really fascinating, but it's a fascinating thing, it's not our issue. What do you do with something that's not Beferish Bekra? It's the Rambam's Divrei Sofer, by the way. Things that are Daraisa, but they're not Meforish Bekra, and they're not directly Misinai as a Masorah. So the Ran says that these things sometimes don't have this, they're Daraisa, but they may not have the status of Daraisa with respect to certain things. With respect to Isser Chal Isser, or Shvua Chal Shvua, the Ran says, since it's not Meforish Bekra, therefore it's treated like Divrei Sofer, almost as if it were the Rabbana, and therefore the Shvua is Chal on it. You're not considered, at least for these, but you're not considered Mushbav Omei Mehar Sinai on something that's only Divrei Sofer. That's the famous Rambam about Kiddushe Kesef is only mean Divrei Sofer. What Divrei Sofer there means, it's not Beferish Bekra, it's learned out from the various Midos, even though you get Skila for it. That's the whole discussion. So that this is another branch of that whole discussion. of something that's not Mefurish B'Kross, even though it's Daraisa, sometimes has a lower status with regards to certain things. It may also, there's a Tosus in the Raran Soloveitchik tried to explain a Tosus at the beginning of the fourth parak in Gittin, that things that are not explicit in the Pasuk, that are these Divrei Sofrim, that are Daraisa, you know, there may be no problem with Chachamim Okun Davar Minat Torah B'Kum Vasei. Normally we say, Chazal's power to have us violate Dinim of the Torah is only in a passive sense. We don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it comes out on Shabbos. That's a passive violation. We don't take the Luv and Esrog when it comes out on Shabbos. But to violate something, Bekum Va'aseh, to actively violate something, we say the Chachamim don't have the power to make a takan of that nature. But some Rishonim may hold that with respect to things that are only awesome in Atorah Midin Divrei Sofrim, this quasi Daraisa, but this, you know, not Beferish Bekra, so might not, by those dinim, it might be that you can even do something Bekum Va'aseh.
Because of the Gioras
No, I don't think that's that. No, that's not when it's fourth parak in Gittin. That's you're talking about Daf Yud or Yud Aleph there. Yud Aleph. Okay. So anyway, so I asked you the question: what is the Ran's position on the nature of the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah? Really, when you break it down, what's his makor? Yeah. Okay.
And there's the second larger chiyuv of the shinatan of the necha.
What's the nature of that chiyuv?
Which has the drasha that you have to be able to know, basically.
Which means what? Means there. No. Unless you view that as Rabbi Yishmael's answer to Ben Dama, yeah, Eitan?
It seems like at the minimum you have to be doing it once or twice a day. But ideally, you're supposed to understand what
you're doing. No, the Ran is saying more than that. There's in effect, there become two chiyuvim of Talmud Torah. There are two dinim. There is the mitzvah bepoal of Talmud Torah, and there's a mitzvah, which is often neglected, of Yediyas HaTorah. And the only way to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, there's no way to do that if you only learn Kriyashem Shashachas, Kriyashem Shasharvis. There may be a point at which a person's chiyuv is no longer to learn all the time because he's reached whatever you call v'shinantam levanecha, shim chudana meficha, which means that inherently it's not that eternal. That's why I made the comment earlier. I said that the classic formulation in certain segments of the observant world is that you have to learn all day, all night, all your life. The Ran does not throw in that last part, all your life. The Ran might readily say that a person could reach a stage at which he's fulfilled the Shinat L'manecha, it's Mechudah D'mefiv, and he has to continue to learn during the day and learn at night some. But now, it might be more difficult to learn Chachmas Yifanis. That's exactly, in a sense, what Ben Dama's question to Rabbi Yishmael was. Kigon ani shalamadi kol ha-Torah kula. He's fulfilled the Shinat L'manecha, mao she'elman Chachmas Yifanis. Not for the Ran. The Ran doesn't rely upon Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's answer was no, it's still Yom Chuyiv. In other words, there are four positions, really. There's Kriyashma Shashachmas, Kriyashma Shal Arvis is one position. Perek Echad Bayom of Alayla is a second position. The fourth position is Rabbi Yishmael in the Gemara, if he really meant it. You know, that's the question of whether or not that was just a Dechiyah. And then the Ran, which is somewhere in between positions two and four, which is that there's a Chiyah of Yom Valayla, but that's. But his Rai is only for Shinat L'Vanecha, which you can't achieve if you only do Krishna Shachar Shavis. But if you've reached Shinat L'Vanecha, see, the Ran doesn't quote the Gemara Menachos. For the Ran, if you reach the stage of Mechudana Meficha, L'Chora, there's no longer a Chiyuv to learn day and night.
How do you use that drasha? I don't think they really mean it. It doesn't seem like
it. I'm not advocating it. I'm just telling you what the Ran... You
no,
look
I
what the Ran says.
How is the Ran using this drasha?
Well, he doesn't accept Rabbi Yishmael's position? He doesn't accept Rabbi Yishmael's position because the fact that the Gemara here says Kriyashma Shel Shachris, Kriyashma Shel Arvis is a rejection of Rabbi Yishmael's position. Because what's the makor of Kriyashma Shel Shachris, Kriyashma Shel Arvis that you can Mekayim Talmud Torah with that? Vagisa bo yomam v'layla, which means clearly the Gemara here in Nedarim is not reading it like Rabbi Yishmael. Which means if that's the case, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Except the Ran says, "What are you going to do with the shinantan vanecha mechudad mefichas?" So he says, "Ah, so you see, mechud. In other words, that's not a chiyah but Paul of Talmud Torah. It's a chiyah of Yediyas HaTorah. Which, in other words, the chiyah of you learning a piece during the day and a piece at night is a key of mitzvah Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah that you have to do beyond that, the Ran he doesn't say it this way, and I don't mean to suggest that he holds this way. It's almost like a hechsher mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah.
The Ran Rashi actually quotes Mishnah Hilavanev, and he says that just like you fulfill the Agitabu Yimamalela with the Kriyashma Shavuot Kriyan Kriyashma, he says the same thing.
Fine, but I want to explain that. But the Sheet of the Ran, you don't. I'm not telling you have to read the Gemara Kiddush the way the Ran does. You know, you could read the drush of Shnatam Lecha simply as zeros, something that everybody should aspire to. But when the Ran uses that pasuk to redefine what it called was the second chiyuv of Talmud Torah, not the act of learning, but the accumulation of knowledge. So that when a person asks you a question, you're not Magam game, you respond. Moshe? Yes, but the question is that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or is that something a person aspires to? There are a lot of statements that are made there, right? Ein devei Torah miskayim el b'misha meimis atzmo aleim, right? As you say that, it's not a chiyuv, but, you know, but not a, there are certain things that are stated al derech zirus.
Including your vow.
What's that?
Including your vow.
Yes. Went to Jeremy and then to you.
So, one shua from Michal, not on the limited chiyuv of morning and night, and not on the
Yediyah. It can be chal on the Yediyah Satar, but not on the limited thing, because the limited thing is considered Beferish Bikra, and therefore Ein Shvua Chal, Morini Mushbav Omei Marci, and Ein Shvua Chal Shvua. But the part that's not Beferish Bikra, Shiyumachudatam Meficha, that drasha of Shinantan Vanecha, that the Shvua can be chal upon, to be Mechayiv you. So that if you then don't learn a Perek Echad, you violated a Shvua, not just that you haven't fulfilled Vishinantan Vanecha. See him?
This whole pasuk of Eni Hoshua is bothering me, because how are we deriving halakha from the Nevi'im?
That was the question Ezra asked earlier. But you know, it seems to be a gilui milsa. It's a gilui milsa on what Vishinantam Levanecha is.
So the basis is Vishinantam Levanecha. So
the makar has to, yes,
so
but...
What I'm saying is clearly
the Tanoim understood Vagisa Boyom and Valaila informs your reading of the Pshat of Vishinantam Levanecha. So there's machlokas, what the Tanaim, how they read that pasuk in Yoshua. Is it Tamid or is it Eis Be'yom Eis Be'laila? The fact that the Gemara in Nedarim says that Yoyotzi of Kiyosh Rosh Hashanah is Kiyosh Rosh means it has rejected Rabbi Yishmael's position, it has accepted Rabbi Shimon's position, and that's what, but the Ran says, that's nice, you can fulfill the act of Talmud Torah with Yom, you know, Kiyosh Rosh Hashanah, Kiyosh Rosh Hashanah, but how do you fulfill the Shinan Talam Anecha, Shem Echudah de Meficha with that? Yeah, so that's why he says there must be the Shem Echudah, in other words, for the Ran, there are two Chiyuvim. I'll accept what you said, saying the Shinan Talam Anecha is the Chiyuv. The Pshat of Vishinan Tavanecha is the Chiyuv of learning some at day, some at night. The Medrash of Vishim Chudad de Meficha, Shinun, that's the Makor that you have to learn beyond that until you know all of Torah. Okay. Gabe?
So would this be, I mean, how many is this when you find a mitzvah instead of applying once a day or once a week or once in a row, apply once in your life? I mean, writing a Sefer Torah is the only other one I can think of.
Wiping out the seven nations, if you live then, okay. There are mitzvahs that end for you personally, yes. But
writing a Sefer Torah is probably one that makes
okay.
Sense.
Okay, fine.
It's compound, and then you're done. And then you're
okay.
Well,
it's not, no, but Gabe, I don't agree, because if you did, well, it's like, yeah, but if your Sefer Torah gets erased, you have to write a new one. If you forget Torah, you got
to
learn it again. Okay.
In fact, it totally Gemara describes a person like that.
Okay.
Okay,
there you go. Okay, I'm sure there are more when we think about that. All right, now, I actually want to stop to daven now, and so we can try to get for full chazar sashatz, and I will try to finish up just a little bit tomorrow before we start halacha. We will continue where we left off in halacha, in Simon Kufn and Tess. I don't remember exactly where, but you go back and look at your notes from a week ago Sunday. And so I will finish this up tomorrow, a little bit in the Rambam. If you look at the two Rambams that I sent you, and then we will do halacha. Okay. And I know I owe you something for tomorrow. Okay, and Ben, let's get someone up here.